Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
This is the real Duke Nukem, baby. I'm here to listen to Podcast Unlocked and chew bubble gum. And I'm all out of gum.
Podcast Unlocked.
What's happening, friends? Welcome to Podcast Unlocked. It's the world's number one Xbox podcast here at IGN. I'm Ryan McCaffrey. Destin Legarry, you know. Look at that denim. Is that a denim shirt? Or just
I don't know, it sort of looks denim?
It's
another Express shirt. It's just more
like
casual.
You've been bringing up your game lately. I like it.
I've had this one for a while. I think I've worn it on the show.
I don't know if I recognize that shirt.
All right. Well, thank you.
I got to pay closer attention to you. See what you're up to. And to my left, you've been on Unlocked before, like once in a blue moon. Jose Otero, host of Nintendo Voice Chat.
Hello, how's it going?
All around gamer.
Thank you.
You're a big Halo guy.
Yes, big Halo, big Gears, which we're going to talk about. And I do want to comment that I have not seen Destin wear that shirt before.
Really?
It is actually quite sexy.
All right, thanks.
It's almost like Destin. I want to touch it.
Possibly.
Anyway, this episode is for March 16th, 2016. Each new show drops each and every Wednesday, of course. A lot of get it on iTunes. It's on YouTube, on IGN. Excellent place to consume this show, the IGN Xbox One app, because you can just put it on. You can see our pretty faces. You can see Destin's sexy, smooth, denim-style shirt. And it's just on in the biggest screen in your house. You can leave it on the background while you're doing other stuff.
Hide your kids. Hide your wives.
Take a look. IGN Xbox One app. This we've got a lot to talk about. I wanted to quickly mentioned, last week, Destin, we talked all about Fable and the unfortunate demise of Fable. I threw out a wild idea about giving it to Rare to reboot.
Yeah.
Got a lot of good feedback on that. A lot of people digging that idea. Mm-hmm. And just as a quick follow-up to that, the co-creator of Fable.
That's right. I saw this morning. This
Simon Carter. He's one of the Carter brothers who, with Peter Molyneux at Lionhead, co-created Fable. He tweeted out, somebody asked him, would you want to do something more with it? And he said, quote, "I'd love to do a reboot personally. So many ideas we didn't get to play with." So, Phil Spencer, we know you listen. He passed his test the other week, remember? So, I was looking on Simon's page, his Twitter page. It didn't say he was with any specific developer, so I'm not sure quite what Simon's up to, but maybe bring Simon and his brother bring him over to Rare, form him a team, reboot. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
That'd be cool.
Don't let Fable die. It's too good an IP to let go. So we'll see about that. I want to mention too, last week I teased a special guest. This is why I teased it without saying who it was. So I did get to speak with Todd Howard.
Oh, what?
But they had asked that they just wanted the it was a phone interview, so I mean the quality would have been kind of crap anyway on the podcast, but I wanted to record it and just drop it into this show, but they had requested, we don't really want this to be like for shows, we just kind of want it to be for a chat, and then, we did a couple news stories on IGN, so they didn't want it on the podcast, but I had a nice 20-minute chat with Todd, the fruits of which can be viewed on IGN, and I will say, I'm gonna put my neck out here, because something could go horribly wrong.
Okay.
Due in today, later today, so I'll put it in for next week's show, a very Xbox-centric guest who I'm stoked to have on. Haven't talked to him in a long, long time. Donald Mustard, the man behind, one of the people behind Shadow Complex, and, of course, the co-founder of Chair with his brother, Jeremy.
Wow.
So I'm eager to talk to him. We got Shadow Complex Remastered out this week.
That's right.
So he's out kind of on the promotional circuit for that. I got a million questions for him about, going way back. He did an Xbox exclusive game that you guys probably forgot called Advent Rising.
What?
But you remember Advent Rising?
I've heard of that.
Yes.
Which I reviewed back in the day. Shadow Complex. You got a lot to talk to him about. So if all goes well, he will be in later this afternoon, and I will drop that interview into next week's show. And with that, let's come right back. Let's hear from Jose the Master Otero, Master Sword Otero himself.
What about? What do you want to know?
Well, we're gonna talk this whole cross network thing.
Oh man, yes.
That Microsoft's opening the door to.
We're gonna talk. News unlocked.
We're gonna talk some Gears of War.
Yes.
Because we got very polarizing Gears of War news. Mm. So we'll get to all that right after this. All right, news time. We are all rushed. If you're wondering, where the hell is everyone else? And what's Jose doing here? Well, number one, Jose's cool, and we should have him on more often.
Thank you.
True.
But, we have a deep bench on Unlocked. Yeah. Yeah. We got Alana on the bench. We got Naomi on the bench. We got Jose on the bench. We got Jared on the bench. We got Vince on the bench. We always have somebody we can call on.
Except this week.
Except this week. Jose, kind enough to, like, otherwise it would have been me and Destin just rambling about.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going? Going pretty good.
That's pillow talk. Yeah,
it's all right.
With Ryan.
How's your
Destin?
Day?
Yeah.
So anyway, we got other meetings, so we're going to try and power through the show. Still want to have some good conversation, though. I want to start, guys, with what I think is the biggest Xbox news of the week.
Yeah, it is. This is huge.
And this is, so we talked last week about the whole hardware thing, mm-hmm. you know, is... That was big news last week. Is there going to be an iterative Xbox One that just has more, you know, is it going to become more like a PC? So this week we've got ID at Xbox, the indie, you know, scene on Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
New policy, Xbox One games will now optionally support cross-network play, starting with Rocket League, which will be, you'll be able to play with PC players if you want. Now, developers will have the option, developers have the option to implement it. It's not a mandate. And then users will have the option to only play with Xbox people if they want. So I figure that's probably a fail-safe put in for, you know, a competitive shooter. Mm. You know, you don't want to get crushed by guys with super precise mouse and keyboards.
Yeah,
it's so been done. Shadowrun on 360.
Famously.
That was the example of, nope, this is not a competition. Mm-hmm. The guys with the mouse and keyboards win.
Think about what this means for games like Final Fantasy XIV.
That we're never getting because Phil Spencer told me how it was weird politics.
For now, yeah. But the next Final Fantasy that's an online MMO, maybe it'll be on everything.
So.
You know, then Destiny, you know.
The
Destiny
Division,
2,
I mean,
the Division.
That would be, yeah.
You know.
Well, for now, it's
there's
an
potential.
It's an ID. It's an ID policy.
Yeah.
But
it opens
it's
up.
It's the first step, right?
Opens
it's
up
the first
the potential.
Step. Yeah. I mean, a future, I would love a future where we're all, everybody's in one.
Just play on your
space.
Platform of choice.
Yeah. Because you can play with all your friends no matter where they are. And it ups the quality of your matchmaking because you've always got more people to pull from. So you're going to be able to get more people close to you so that you don't have, like, one guy in another country who's, like, bogging down the server, or maybe that person's lagging out and it's, you know, throwing the balance of the play out. So this is nothing but a good thing. Now,
Titanfall, Dark Souls, like, looking forward, it's exciting.
Looking forward. Yeah. For now, though, small stuff.
Yeah.
Indie stuff, ID at Xbox stuff, the door is open. Now, they worded this very interestingly. They said the policy also has, quote, an open invitation for other networks to participate as well. Of course, Microsoft, for whatever reason, terrified of uttering the words Sony or PlayStation Network. Nah, it's just corporate policy. That's how that stuff goes. You gotta talk about your thing and not the other guy's thing. And of course, Nintendo.
Yeah.
I think
we have a network. I'm not sure. Not to rail against Nintendo, but Nintendo's like friends list is nowhere near as sophisticated as what, like Sony.
And
Microsoft,
I think it's more
doing.
Just a case of there aren't a lot of games that are on Xbox and Wii U.
No, yeah, the third party situation is different. I will say
but
though,
still,
that,
the door's open. Yeah.
The interesting thing that strikes me though with this is that, so I think first of all, Rocket League is the perfect game to kick this off with.
For sure.
It's definitely not a shooter, not something that the mouse and keyboard guys I feel would have a huge advantage. But I almost wonder, like, this is great for the idea of what you mentioned, right? That you'll always have a pool of players to play with, and it's not going to be this situation where maybe because of a platform's popularity, there's a bunch of people who have it on a specific one, and then the player base on the other platform is somehow hamstrung by that, because just because there aren't as much of an install base or how many people are playing it. But in terms of communication, I wonder what happens here. Like, let's say, for example, I have friends. So I have all platforms, but I have some friends on Xbox One who will not buy a PS4 and some friends on PS4 who will not buy an Xbox One. Will I ever be able to talk to those friends in a game like this?
That's a good question.
That I don't – I'm not 100% confident is the result of this. I'll have people to play against is what this sounds
like. I would have to imagine the answer is no to that because the whole voice protocols are different.
Yeah.
On each one. I mean, Xbox, you can't talk to 360 players.
Yeah.
On Xbox One. Because the, right? I'm remembering that right, aren't I? God, I hope so. Or I'm going to look real bad. Yeah, it's
been a while since I tried, but I will say that cross-game chat is something that I feel like started for me on 360 and continued on Xbox One, where the friends I have there constantly want to talk to me or we want to talk to each other when we're playing different games. But I like the idea of us, if we're all playing Rocket League, we would be able to talk to each other, and that would be the one instance where it does happen. But I do wonder if that's even part of the promise, and I don't think it is, but it would be cool if it was.
How does proximity chat work in a game like Destiny? Like, you get near people and you can start hearing their voice. I wonder if that sort of feature would work, like in game chat
or a fire team chat specifically, right? Not to drop names of podcasts on right here, or, you know, the same thing with your squad in the division. You know, as long as you guys are all networked together and playing over the game, you are therefore allowed to speak to each other, and not so much that this would be, you know, I'm on PSN and I can have a direct link to friends cross game, because that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, the ads on this website are the freaking worst. This is unreal. I'm trying to get the answer to my own dumb question, and it does seem that. So I was right. I was half right, and that's how it was in the beginning. Yep. You couldn't chat.
That changed.
You now can in party chat.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You it can happens. Party chat.
Yep.
Sony responded with maybe, huh?
Yeah, Sony's response, man. Like,
maybe.
Well, yeah, they said PlayStation has been supporting cross-platform play between PC on several software titles, starting with Final Fantasy XI on PS2 and PC back in 2002.
And Xbox.
So what do you got to throw the dig in there for to make it look how great?
We've been doing this
forever. Like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, they don't even list that Final Fantasy XI also works Xbox to PS2.
Right.
Which it did, yeah.
It did. That was the one game that did back in the day, 360. Anyway, they say, we would be happy to have the conversation with any publishers or developers who are interested in cross-platform play. So a very non-committal answer, but they don't outright say like, nah. Yeah.
To me, with the Final Fantasy example, and if we're accurate that 360 users could talk to PS2 users, then it's possible. Yeah. Like, the infrastructure's there.
Yeah, no, totally.
If it's built within the game product.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Within the software.
I think this caught them off guard, though, right? Because when you think about it, Microsoft and Xbox Live was the service that built that wall, right? That this is an isolated walled garden where we are talking to each other across our own network. We're not going to talk to PC games. We're not going to talk to other platform games. And now to see Microsoft make the move to remove that wall or sort of, you know, somewhat remove it. It's not completely gone. Is interesting to me, and it's cool. Like, I think it's a good show on their part, you know, to be able to support that and to do that.
Definitely. Ryan, what are you looking up right now?
I'm just still checking the same thing because
it is debated.
It looks like it actually hasn't been implemented yet, but it's a thing Phil said that's on their to-do list.
Got it.
Yeah. No, you can't do it yet, which is so I was correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I was correct the first time.
There you go. Yeah, but it's good to see Microsoft make this move. I think this is cool. I'm now counting the days until we see a big third-party release that will actually do this. Right?
Utilize
it. If it's Destiny 2 or if it's something
else.
It'll be
a small game first.
You think it'll
like
be a small game
Rocket
first.
League.
Right. Yeah. But think about whatever major publisher takes that step. Think of the goodwill that publisher and developer are going to get. Like, oh, you guys are, you know, just all about players and making it the best environment for players mm-hmm. possible.
They would also set the bar.
Yeah.
Like, here's how we did it, and it worked well. Yeah. You know, well, hopefully it works well.
Yeah, but the thing that undermines it all, right, to some degree, is the race for who gets the DLC first. And right now, that's still very much a thing, right?
Oh, like,
yeah,
that's
Call
true.
Call of Duty, like,
that is a good point.
Sony,
the division, you know, interesting.
The division is happening. That's what Xbox won first, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm playing on that platform.
So, yeah, maybe third parties aren't going to, maybe it will be a smaller game, in fact, something that isn't quite as big. But
yeah, what does that look like when your infrastructure allows Xbox One exclusive content that PlayStation users can't get into? They won't, will they not be able to join your team? Will it be like Halo days where it's like, you don't have this DLC yet? Get it in 30 days.
Yep.
Yeah, how will it work? That's a software side, though, not a Xbox hardware side.
Well, and you got to suspect, I totally agree with you, Destin, that this is going to be a smaller game that does it first, because the other thing, even though there's a lot of goodwill on the table to be had for the first big boy that steps out and does that, it's also a lot of technical headache for a developer to make that happen. If you know, if you're the project lead on Destiny 2 at Bungie, and you go to your engineers and go, okay, guys, we want everybody to play together.
Yeah.
PS4, and there's no PC version, of course, of Destiny. PS4 and Xbox One. Yet.
There is a PC team working on something. Anyway. Right.
Anyway. Yeah. PS4 and Xbox One, we want everybody to play together. Those guys would probably... All you'd hear echoing through the halls would be the sound of the engineers' heads slamming onto their desks. Because that's got to be a lot of
be a
difficult
challenge.
Work.
Yeah.
But, yeah, somebody's going to do it at some point. And I hope somebody does. I hope this is not one of those sort of empty promises that are, you know, that's not a promise, but, you know, I hope it's not a hollow gesture.
I'll bet the hardest part will be cutting that red tape between Sony and Microsoft.
Yeah, you're totally right. Mm-hmm. All right.
Sweet.
Next on the to-do list this week, the other big story I wanted to get to.
Huge.
Some big Gears of War 4 news. First up, the beta has been announced. We knew it was coming in the spring. It's coming smack dab in the middle of the spring. It's running longer than I thought it was. I know, you know, Jose, you're a big Gears guy. Me too. Mm-hmm. Mitch, who's not here this week, is our biggest Gears of War fan.
Yes. I like
Gears.
Biggest
in the office.
I like it. But I'm not like a huge fan like Mitch that's read the books and stuff like that, you know?
So the Gears of War 4 multiplayer beta is going to kick off on April 18th for those of you that own Gears of War Ultimate Edition for either the Xbox One or the PC.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get in about a week early, which is awesome. On April 24th, select Xbox Live Gold members will be invited. I suspect that is going to be a thing where eventually everybody gets
in.
You know what I mean?
Like
one way or the other.
Everybody just come in.
They're going to make it seem exclusive at first in order to... This is the playbook by now. You make it seem exclusive so that you feel super special if you get invited and you're out there tweeting about it, you're talking about it socially, but then eventually everybody's going to get in. So it's just a... They're going to maximize that hype.
Sure, sure.
Get that hype train up to full speed. But then get this, the beta doesn't end until May 1st. So if you're in with the early access from the Gears Ultimate Edition, you've got like about 2 weeks to play this thing, which is awesome. That's a longer than usual multiplayer beta. And even if you're not, even if you're in the regular group, it's a full week. You know, we're used to these things being 3 days.
How long were the Destiny? They were about a week, right?
No. Well, the alpha was, I think, 3 or 4 days.
It was a weekend.
Yeah, the beta, you're right.
The beta was
longer.
A week or so.
It was about a week, yeah.
Maybe
you're
a little more.
Correct on that.
Yeah.
So that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the bigger issue I wanted to talk about, again, coming out of the Game Informer coverage, that's their cover story this month, great job by them, we learned that the Gears of War 4 campaign will be 1080p 30 frames a second. Multiplayer will be 1080p 60 frames a second. Now, I thought this was pretty open and shut, that this is awesome. But I took to Twitter with my opinion on this and got major reactions on both sides. So I want to see what you guys think. So, you're looking at... So now, let's look at Halo.
Yeah.
Halo had always been 30 frames for everything.
That's right.
Master Chief Collection, which is, of course, just it's a remastering of old stuff, made it 60 frames for everything. Halo 5 made the decision to go 60 frames, single player and multiplayer. They have sort of a dynamic scaling resolution for those times when things got crazy. It might bump it down a little bit. But Halo 5, 60 frames. One of the casualties of that, split screen. We did not get split screen because that was a trade-off that they had to make. So, and Call of Duty's always been 60 frames. That's been its calling card. It's always felt very smooth, looked very smooth. People love Call of Duty. So what do you guys think? I mean, are you, for me, I'll just go first. I love this because with a campaign, with a story-driven campaign of which, remember, they're a dying breed at this point, or at least as the generation has started, I'm hoping they're going to kind of come back around. Like, you know, we got Titanfall 2 is going to have a campaign, but, you know, Battlefront doesn't. Destiny's was weird, and most of Destiny is the late-game stuff. But I love this. I want... Because what Gears of War means to me is, part of what Gears of War means to me is a eyeball-melting experience. Like, it should, I should pop it in, and it should be like, wow, that looks amazing. And at 30 frames, they can dial that way up, much higher than they can for 60 frames. And then, sure, dial it back down a little bit for and have give me a 60 frames multiplayer. I love this. A lot of people didn't. What do you guys think?
So for me, and this is my personal opinion, I don't think that 60 frames per second necessarily makes a product better. I think you can deliver really high quality cutscenes, really high quality narrative at 30 frames per second. And I would also go a step further and say that sometimes it is the best way to present a narrative. Adding 60 frames per second is sometimes a buzzword. Sure, your game can do it. And I think the community, the reason they want it is because they want the option to do it at 60. For me, though, I am fine with the developer developing the product the way they want and making it look as best as they possibly can.
Jose?
And,
Yeah, this is a tough question to answer, right? Because I feel like the folks who are most vocal about wanting 60 frames per second, their intentions are very pure. Like, it's mostly about, I want a technically excellent, like, ahead of the pack, just jaw-dropping experience.
Yeah.
And I do think that in the quest for that, sometimes it is just completely undervalued that 30 frames can still convey that and can still do that. Like, it kind of drives me up the wall a little bit. But I do feel for those guys because I understand what they want, right? They just want to be able to say, this is the most technically excellent thing that I can possibly play right now. But at the end of the day, technically excellent quality comes with the schedule. And I just don't think that – and I don't know the full story on why the Coalition or Gears of War 4, ultimately why the developers decided on this decision. But I would say that – you know, there is a timestamp on this, and these guys have to get it out the door on a certain schedule. So personally, I'm not that crazy about 60 versus 30. It's never been something that I consider a make it or break it purchase for me. But I do, I want to try and understand the guys who do get worked up over this, because I think it isn't fair to dismiss them to an extent.
No, not at all. But a lot of the responses I got on Twitter from the pro 60 frames side was that, I heard this is a common thread. Anything less than 60, you know, 30 is it doesn't feel good. It doesn't play right. And my response to that is, so you're telling me every Halo game prior to Halo 5 and Destiny and pretty much every shooter from last generation that's not called Call of Duty
had
didn't
bad
play
gameplay.
Well, didn't feel good. Like, no,
that's
no,
a poor argument.
That's just not right.
It's a hyperbolic argument for sure. Like, it's definitely like that hyperbole.
Like, you didn't enjoy any of the other Halos.
No, Last of Us on PS3 was trash. That's crazy talk.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, for sure. I do think, though, it is more noticeable to some folks than others. And I'll use a Nintendo example because, I mean, it's what I cover here most, right? But Mario Kart 8, when you play that in split screen or in single player, it is a 60 frames per second game.
Is it 720, 60, or 1080?
720, but okay. I'll fill that out since that's part of the technical checklist. But then when you play in four players, it bumps it down to 30.
Right.
And you notice it right away.
Sure.
You just go, whoa.
You that, also like, notice
played
it
these
if
courses
you...
100 times. Yeah. This didn't feel like this before.
Inversely, you also notice the change if you play at 30 a lot, jumping to 60.
Yes.
Going back to Last of Us as an example, you could switch between 30 and 60, and you notice it. It takes a while to adjust to 60, and once you get used to it, it's fine.
Yeah.
And then when you go back, you definitely notice it.
Definitely. No, and I'm a firm believer a good game is a good game regardless of frame rate. And we came from an era where, like, you know, some N64 games or some PS1 games,
slideshows.
Yeah, they turned into slideshows because too many things were happening at once.
Mm-hmm. You showed me recently. You did a preview of the new Star Fox Zero.
Yes, yes, that's
and
right.
And you had like footage of the original in there for reference, and it was just like it was shocking to look at like, oh yeah, that's. What the original Star Fox looked and ran like.
Exactly, yeah. And it's weird because we don't always hang on to that. But I just want to say to the folks that are really disappointed about like 60 frames per second, look, I'm sure the developer hears you. I know I hear you. I get what you're arguing for. But at the same time, like a good game is still a good game. And I still need to see the rest of Gears of War 4 before I can make that decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
And either dismiss it or decide to buy it based on, you know, what it is and what it's going to be.
And I will say this to the 60 FPS fans. I understand why you like it. It is It is smoother. But I don't think launching a game at 30 means that it's crap.
That's a lot of the knee-jerk, like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to buy, if no 60 FPS, no buy kind of thing. Like, that's ridiculous. Every other Gears of War game is... been incredible on the 360
at
30 frames.
Rise, like, just
and
insane.
Yeah, the other point I guess I would make to this is, for those of you who are dead set on at 60 frames a second, okay, I grant you that, but I never want to hear any of you complain about graphics ever, because that's the trade-off.
Yeah, sacrifices
right? Like,
have
you
to
either
be
get 30 FPS, gorgeous textures, amazing lighting effects, et cetera, or
you got to dial some of that back.
You
for the
dial
60
it back
frames.
For the 60. So it's kind of you lose by going to 60 a little bit.
Yeah, there is a trade-off. I had a developer tweet back at me saying when I tweeted that out last week, he said. It was one of the creative leads. I have to look up who it was. Ian from Visceral, who was the single player lead on Battlefield Hardline.
Running at 60 is literally doubling the amount of data you have to display at any given time.
He said his tweet was, because I almost remember it word for word. He said, "People don't understand the trade off here. 60 FPS is nice, but as a developer, it's also nice to have 2 to 2.5 times the rendering ability, which is what." That's what the trade-off is.
Yeah.
So you really can dial up, like, I get some people, their priority is, I want the smoothest 60 frames experience possible, and I'm willing to trade off the visuals. Me, I for a campaign where I'm not competing with people, as long as it's a smooth 30, which Gears of War always has been, I want those visuals dialed up to the max because I want my jaw dropped in service of a narrative experience.
Yeah, and the little they've shown, like, that game looks really good.
It does.
Based on very, very little. I remember when Gears of War, the original, came out, I was inviting friends over and just turning on my television and going, look at this. I was like, this is the first next-gen thing at that time to me. Like, I don't think any other game quite nailed it, and I'm looking forward to this game hopefully being that next example.
Awesome. All right.
Just look at it.
Sorry.
Look at it.
Real quick, I want to cover, Destin, you and I attended the Xbox Indie Showcase yesterday. What were some of your favorite things that you saw?
I think you already know my answer. I played a lot of games while I was there. I watched other people play it. The one that surprised me the most was definitely Manuel Samuel.
I played this on
your recommendation.
Yeah, you had a little bit of a different take, but I just love the cheeky British style
Humor.
Well,
give them the title. People don't know what this is.
Okay, so you're a rich, spoiled kid that's been handed everything his whole life, and you die. So you die.
Don't you get hit by a car?
I don't know.
What was that one?
I don't remember how you die, but you die and you come
unexpectedly.
Back, and you have to do everything manually.
You make a deal with the devil.
Yeah, you make the deal with the devil. You do everything manually for a day, I believe.
And he says, yeah. Well, he doesn't tell you that.
Yeah, yeah.
Just, come on.
Okay, yeah. Well, go ahead. It's set up, yeah.
All right, so, well, it's just the context here is important for the setup for this game. It's, you get killed unexpectedly. He, you know, of course, this kid doesn't want to be in hell.
Yeah.
He wants to go back to his awesome life, so he makes a deal with the devil. The devil says, if you can survive for 24 hours, I'll send you back, and if you can survive for 24 hours, I'll give you your life back. No, he doesn't tell him, though, right? And so he gets back, and then it turns out he has to do literally everything. Mm-hmm. None of his bodily functions are automated. Yeah. Everything has to be consciously performed.
The first thing they teach you how to do is Blink. They teach you how to blink
with the
first,
A button.
With the A button.
Because your vision, it'll get like whiter and whiter and your eyes just go red and you have to blink with the A button.
What?
Yeah.
This is all.
And then breathing
a
second.
X inhales and B exhales.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very much in the sort of Surgeon Simulator style of you know, crazy physics
control. Or I think Octodad.
Yeah, that's a better way. That's a better comparison.
Yeah. Nice. And the jokes that they come up with, it's like you go to drink a cup of coffee and it's like, he blew on the coffee and then you drink it and it's like, no, I guess he decided to scald himself in the face instead.
Well, like,
should try that again.
Well, you press up on the D-pad
to
align your spine.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you have to get up and then use each trigger, like left triggers your left foot, right triggers your right foot. Yeah. And you have to, I was cracking up when the first thing you have to go over and pee.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, just all over the place.
It's like you can't control your pee.
Oh my goodness.
Death is also a character in the game. And he's like,
skateboarding douchebag. Like, yes.
All right, you figure it out. Here's how you do everything. And then he's doing like, he's like, I'm going to go do kickflips. And he's just doing kickflips in the background on a skateboard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. It's really, really fun.
So
yeah.
The goal is survive under these very, very difficult
and
circumstances.
Doing these, but while doing mundane tasks, but having to perform everything manually.
So can you die from like not managing breathing properly? I'm assuming
I never died, but like I didn't blink. And the whole screen was white. I was like, what's going on? And the girl who was demoing it, she's like, you have to blink, press A. I was like, oh my God. Yeah.
That sounds so charming. I like that.
It's really fun. Definitely check that one out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I really liked a game called The Turing Test, which I know I'd heard of it before. It's out on PC. I'm not sure if it's coming to any other platforms, but it's on its way to Xbox in August. I think it's on its way to everything, or at least its initial release on whatever platforms that definitely includes Xbox is August. It's very much Portal inspired.
Mm-hmm.
It's you have a gun that's not for violence. It's kind of like a Portal gun where you have these cubes and these energy balls and you have to sort of mix and match them to open doors and progress your way through. I'm probably making it sound super boring, but it's very much in the Portal kind of
puzzle
vein. So first person puzzle game. I really like that.
Yeah. It's interesting because that term I've heard before, and it actually is a real science term. The Turing test was developed by Alan Turing in 1950 and is a machine's ability to exhibit intelligent behavior equivalent to or indistinguishable from that of a human. So this is its own little science joke. It's just, it blew me away that this came up and is the name of a game.
And then I finally got to play Thimbleweed Park from Ron Gilbert, the creator of Monkey Island. This is a game set in 1987. With 1987 graphics, it looks like the original Monkey Island, like the sort of not even 8-bit, like the sort of VGA kind of graphics. It is a straight point-and-click old-school adventure game. Plays pretty decently on the controller. There's a few little hotkeys to help you kind of move your cursor around more quickly, but it's jokes, it's puzzles. If you like Monkey Island or adventure games, this is going to be like straight up your alley. So that was really good.
You were talking a few episodes ago about just Microsoft and indie support. Like, they have some really, really great products that we saw at this event. And I'm happy that they're still helping, you know, smaller companies. There's some really cool stuff coming.
Some really good stuff. Yeah. And then you and I, it was looped in with the indies. We did see Sniper Elite 4.
Yeah, that's right. And the B-roll they gave us, I put up the gameplay clip today.
Yeah.
There's a sweet testicle explosion shot. And but more interesting, like that's like the grabbing headline.
The X-ray.
Yeah.
Was it Sniper Elite 2, I think, introduced the X-ray
I
thing
believe
where
so.
Papa Texas. What?
Yeah. No. So you can shoot them in the lung and the head, but In this one, you can shoot explosives, then they blow up, and then all the shrapnel hits them, and you see where that hits them and how they die. It's like think of it like a fatality, basically, but you're a sniper. There's also hand-to-hand combat.
It does an X-ray cam like Mortal Kombat, except they were doing it before Mortal Kombat, right?
Well, I don't know.
Or, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. But it's a World War II.
It looks cool.
It's going to change the way people shoot someone in the junk for yeah, the rest like, of time, it, is what
the,
you're saying.
The graphics aren't the greatest, but it's the sniper gameplay seems like it's pretty solid in that you play it for those cool X-ray kills.
Well, you know, we're not really graphic snobs, though. For me, the gameplay looked great.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, like, I'm just saying, set your
expectations accordingly. Oh,
okay, yeah. But, check out the gameplay clip, though, if you want to see more. We're also doing a montage. You're putting together an article with a bunch of these games that we saw.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
we'll get to have some good wrap-up coverage from the Xbox Indie Showcase. And then quickly, because we're unfortunately running out of time.
For me, I'm already behind.
So Ark Survival Evolved, huge game on Xbox right now. It's in the preview program, also killing it on early access on the PC. Nice. Final release, the quote-unquote final release, is due in the summer. But again, for now, you can get in on it now for $35, and then you never have to pay another dime, even when the game is out. You'll get the full game. So they're doing a spin-off game called Ark Survival of the Fittest. So they're taking a multiplayer mode and spinning it out as its own free-to-play game.
Interesting.
And it's out now in game preview on Xbox. So it's there, it's free. And here's the description. This standalone game brings all the features of the mod with upgrades and newly integrates dedicated esports ranking, matchmaking, reward, and tournament features to make it readily accessible to all players. So if you are into Ark, I merely pass this along as another free sort of Ark experience that you can download and check out in the preview program. Not quite my cup of tea, the sort of competitive thing, but I love Ark itself. I'm very curious to see how that evolves.
Sweet. It's cool. I'm happy those guys have done so well.
Yes, absolutely. And final news item this week, Tacoma. We, of course, had Steve Gaynor in on our first episode of 2016, actually. He sat in, and we talked to him about Gone Home and about Tacoma. So he has made the decision with his team to delay Tacoma until spring of 2017.
No.
Steve said, quote, after we did our big unveiling last summer, we sent out a playtest build to a bunch of fellow developers we trust, took a long, hard look at their feedback and our own feelings on where we were at, and decided to re-examine and rework a number of the core assumptions we'd held about the game.
Props to Steve, man. Like, that's just, like, straight up, like, earnest talk.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like, oh, just that Nebulous we delayed. Like, we're not going to tell you why.
Yeah.
Like, clearly they saw some trouble signs and want to fix it. Yeah.
Hey, we want to release a good product, so we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say, though, this kills my dream within a dream of an Xbox Live Arcade Summer of Arcade relaunch with Inside, Cuphead, Below, and this, and Tacoma as, like, the four big headliners.
Yeah.
But we could still swap in something else.
Yeah.
We need that Summer of Arcade back, man. We've been lobbying for this, right?
I am on the campaign trail for this.
I think this is a good thing. Keep pushing for that, because I do miss that. That was the way, I feel like that was the way I got introduced to Braid. I feel like that was the way I got introduced to a lot of
Summer
great
of Arcade.
Xbox Live.
Braid was a Summer of Arcade game.
Yeah. Braid and Limbo. Those are the two games that I'll remember. And then Stanley Twisted Shadow Planet.
Is the thinking that now that Sony has something similar, they just don't do it? I mean, they're not going to say that publicly, but that's what it feels like.
I don't think Sony does. They just support indies throughout the year.
Their spring showcase or whatever the hell it's called is literally is Summer of Arcade.
Yeah.
Just not in the summer.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's the same exact thing. And kudos to them. I mean,
Phil, bring it back.
It's bringing the spotlight to the best of your digital games.
Definitely. Yeah.
So we'll see. We're working on it, Jose.
All right.
We've got Greg Kinesa, the creator of Xbox Live Arcade, on our side on this.
Okay.
So that's all we can do. All we can do is get out there and battle. Destin, before you've got to go, tell us what we can spend our money on, if you would, sir.
EA Sports UFC 2 is available at retail. Get it today. I have no idea what that sport is.
Both cover
it's punching.
The EA cover curse is real.
Oh,
both
yeah.
of the... So there's a male
Rousey
athlete,
and,
Conor McGregor, and Ronda Rousey are on the cover. Both lost between the time that the cover was announced and the time that the game released. So since they were put on the cover, they both suffered unexpected defeats.
On the digital front, where you don't have a curse, Dungeon of the Endless for $10. Shadow Complex Remastered, $15. You can pick that up. Fantastic game. Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, $15. Tetrobot and Company, $8. Joe Devers,
yep.
Lone Wolf.
Yep, some sort of fighting game thing.
That one's $15. And Sheltered, $15. Marketplace, Mark, Sherlock Holmes.
Slamming that fist on the table.
Oh, I'm really excited to get to the one I've been waiting for. Sherlock Holmes, Crime and Punishment, all March long.
Yep.
And Lords of the Fallen,
is
available
up
today.
Now? Yeah.
Up now, Xbox One, get it. Get that game.
Yeah, you love you love Lords of the Fallen.
Well, I like that it's free.
Yes.
It was a decent game.
Decent Dark Souls clone, right?
Yeah, sort of. Mm-hmm. Same publisher.
Namco.
On Xbox 360, Supreme Commander 2 until the 15th.
And so that's over.
So that's over, actually.
Missed it.
Borderlands, however, is not over. And if you download that on your 360, you can do so on Xbox.com. You get it on your Xbox One now. So that's
yes,
great.
Yes, they made it easier.
So if you have the Handsome Collection, you now get Borderlands. You now have all the Borderlands games.
Can I just add that I have pitched to Destin that I love the Destin reading voice, and I told him I think you could even read the phone book, and it would be hilariously
I wasn't funny, even trying
to listen to. But nice work, nice
Sherlock
work.
Holmes, Crime and Punishment. I was all March long.
I was in Trader Joe's the other day after work, stopping to get some groceries, and one of the employees was I needed some heads of lettuce. For my sandwiches that I make for lunch like almost every day, and he was kneeling down there and like restocking, so he was kind of like it would have been rude and awkward of me to like reach over him. So I said, "Oh, excuse me, sir, would you mind handing me one of the lettuces?" And he goes, "Oh, sure, here you go. By the way, you have the voice of a game show host." I was like, "Thanks, that would be a nice gig to get. Yeah. I would be more than happy to host a game show if
Survey
anybody
says."
Pretty close. Yeah,
I like it. Very
oh
cool.
Man,
you're right. The host of a game show. So.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
I hadn't even considered it that way.
He was accurate. Maybe he's a closet listener. You don't know. Yeah.
Hey, you never know.
Never know.
He's like, wait, do I know you from somewhere? All right. Good stuff. Let's come right back, and we'll answer trivia before scooting on out of here.
Answer's B.
Unlock lock. Can you take on the challenge?
Okay. Destin has left, but he gave his answer, and he wrote it down before leaving.
He circled it during the... Yeah, it's right here.
So he's got a chance. So, Jose, you can get on the board here.
Okay.
You can jump into the fray. We have, of course, our now annual competition in the Unlock Block Trivia Contest. A listener makes a trophy. We had the Dookie trophy, which Destin has on his desk.
Dookie trophy?
Yes.
That's what you call it?
Yeah, it's made out of a Duke controller.
Okay. Okay.
And this year is going to be the Essie, because it's a controller S that a listener is currently fabricating. And I can't wait to see it.
Okay.
He sent me some pictures of it in progress.
Is it like a 3D printed thing or something
else? You'll see.
Okay.
You'll see when it shows up. It's going to be good. We got plenty of 2016 left, so no rush on the trophy. It's going to be good when it arrives.
Need someone to make me a trophy of a Wii remote. Let's keep going.
it's a year-long competition. I believe Mitch is out in front by a point after last week. You've got a chance to get on the board.
Okay, let's do it.
Mitch, though, and Marty not here. So, sucks to be them. And the question comes this week from Chris I. That was how he gave the first initial of his last name.
Hi, Chris.
Chris I, sending you this question from Daytona Beach, Florida, where it's, I'm sure, much warmer and nicer than it is here.
Jealous.
He says his trivia question is in honor of Lionhead Studios, rest in peace, and one of his favorite original Xbox games, Fable. Game I love as well. Were you a Fable guy? Did you play Fable?
I did. Yeah, I played through Fable 1 and 2. I did not finish 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
but
stuff,
enjoyed
man.
Them both. Yeah,
absolutely.
No, absolutely.
So, Jose, do you know the answer to this question? I happen to remember this one. I got this one right. But do you remember what is the original title granted to your hero in the original Fable game? When you start the game, you're given a title.
Yes, yes. No, I remember.
It's sort of royal, you know.
The choices being, read the choices.
Yeah, Avatar, were you just called Avatar? Were you called Chicken Chaser? Were you called Salad Dodger? Or were you called Pie Master?
I love the idea of Salad Dodger, but I'm going to go with Chicken Chaser. I believe Destin is right on this, that it is, that's the title you got. Although Pie Master looked familiar. But go with it.
Yeah, you could pretty much narrow this one down to Pie Master or Chicken Chaser if you know your Fable. Because Pie Master is a totally viable answer, but we were all correct. Yes, it is, in fact, Chicken Chaser.
I'm on the board.
Well done, Jose. I'm going to add you to the list. Larry Herb on the board.
Can I mail in my vote each week?
I don't know. There's a big debate about that, if you have to be here to give your answer.
Okay.
I know I'm going to hear it because Destin gave his answer and left before the segment.
Yeah.
But you're getting added.
Yeah, there's
got to
be rules. Like, you must have participated in more than 50% of the show, which he did, to
his
credit.
You're tied with Finnegan and Larry Herb, our friend Major Nelson, right now, with 1 point. Destin with now 4 points. Mitch leading with 6. Marty behind it at 5. So it's we got 4, 5, 6 for our primary leaderboard there.
Got it.
And Chris is going to win himself a copy of an Xbox game. Thanks to the generosity of our audience, I've got several. I've got still codes for Gears of War 1 through Judgment, the 4 backwards compatible 360 games. You know, you can pick one of them. I've got an Alan Wake's American Nightmare code. Again, another backwards compatible game if you missed it on 360. I've got a code for the Gigantic beta.
Okay.
And just donated this week. I wish I could thank him by name. I forgot to write his name down. But a copy of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag.
Oh, that's cool.
Donated this week, too.
Very nice.
So that is, and that is a native Xbox One game. So Chris is going to get his choice of one of those. And if you would like to win a video game, an Xbox video game, send your Xbox-related trivia question, include 4 multiple-choice answers. Please note the correct one in your email and send that to unlocked@ign.com.
That's dope.
It's a good. Yeah. It's been a good segment for us for the last, I don't know, however long I've been doing this. Almost four years.
I think it's 4 years.
Yeah. Almost 4 years. Yeah, my 4 year anniversary is coming up here at IGN.
Nice.
It's all right. It's almost time to graduate. 4 years, you got to graduate, right?
Don't
no,
say
I'm,
that.
I'm not going
don't
anywhere.
Say that. Yeah, I'm like,
not going anywhere. Jose, let's give some plugs.
Oh, sure.
You got time. It's all you, my friend.
Oh.
Where can we follow you on social media? What are you up to? What have you been doing on IGN that we should be checking out?
Okay. You can find me on Twitter at Jose_Otero. I host our Nintendo podcast every week, Nintendo Voice Chat.
You got to change your Twitter handle to @MasterSword.
Or something like that. Yeah, I like that nickname earlier. I was like, I should totally rock that. Master Sword. What you got? In terms of something cool that's coming from me, there's a bunch of Let's Plays I got involved in with some of the games that we're seeing at GDC.
Yeah.
So I think that's the coolest thing for you to look forward to for now. Nothing super big on the horizon yet. We are talking about something between ourselves that I can't say.
Oh, yeah.
Yet.
That'll be...
But if that comes together, that'll be a fun thing. Sorry,
if it doesn't, I'm screwed. So it better come.
Really better come together.
Does.
Yeah, I really hope it comes together too. But nothing huge. But yeah, you don't have to be a huge fan of Nintendo to check out the show. We definitely try to put together something that's fun and entertaining and still respectful to like that history. So
yeah, you guys get into the retro thing, right? So
even
if I'm not a Nintendo player now, we got plenty of, you're talking about plenty of old school stuff too, right?
Yes, yeah, no. Just recently, it's killing me a little bit because there are some specific retro topics that I'm trying to figure out how to get the guests in the door because it's always better to have them here, right?
Sure.
Rather than do the Skype thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just the Skype thing could be weird, but we've had some great guests that way. And even on non-retro related stuff, we had Sean Velasco on for Shovel Knight, and he was an absolute joy. That man was great. And last week, we had Mike Drucker.
I love Mike.
Him. I love Mike Drucker. Mike, you're listening.
Mike Drucker is the high water mark of what the best case scenario for our careers.
Yeah.
Where he's gone on to become a writer on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
Like,
yeah, and
as a
writer
at
Treehouse for Nintendo. He worked with us writing for Up at Noon and a lot of skits that we did. He's a fascinating dude. If you don't know him, you should look him up.
He's a professional comedian.
Yep.
He does stand-up. He's everything I don't have the balls to do.
He also loves theater, so he's a huge fan of mine, or a huge friend of mine because of that, especially Hamilton, which if you know what that is, you should be excited.
I hear nothing but good things.
Mm-hmm.
And you went out to New York, you saw it out in New York.
I did. I spent an absurd amount of money to see that show.
But it sounded like it was worth it based on your tweets.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, no. Sorry, if you're still listening and you're like, I don't want to know about theater. You should look that up. That show is made for you, the person who does not care about theater.
That and Book of Mormon, right?
Yes, yeah.
And, which I still haven't seen that either because it doesn't – every time it comes here, it's – super expensive and or sold out.
Hamilton's next year. You should do it.
In San Francisco?
2017, March.
But that's going to be it's going to be the same thing, right? Like hundreds of dollars a ticket? Right?
No, it is. Like some season ticket packages already went up, and I thought about it. I was
it's
like, I will go to more than one performance.
You got to, for me, I need the babysitter. to boot, which so then that adds to the cost of the night. So it's tough.
Yeah, but if you can't see the show, listen to the cast album. Like, the cast album is the complete experience. Like, there are cast albums to shows where you're like, I don't know what happened between these two songs. This one, the narrative flows in a great way. So
awesome.
Last plug, and it's not even something I worked on. How about that?
Ryan. Well, you're a very kind person to just plug another creative entity.
Yes, no, I love that stuff.
I'm a little more selfish than that.
Go
I'm going to just plug myself. At DMC underscore Ryan is where you can find me on Twitter. I've got a Tesla podcast. If you like cars, specifically electric ones that go real fast, and Tesla's about to announce the Tesla for the rest of us, coming up on March 31st, they're going to announce they're going to show their Model 3.
Nice.
Which is the $35,000 Tesla that'll go, you know, have a 200-mile range. I'm very stoked. I plan on putting my deposit down as soon as possible.
This is the dream.
I've already been waiting years for this. Schneider,
yes.
Our general manager, who's, of course, on your show, Nintendo Voice Chat, he gives me crap all the time.
Whatever. That's GM money.
He's got a Model S.
He's crap from GM money. Like, that's the GM bucks helping him out.
That's right. But, hey, he's earned it. He built this place from the ground up.
No, 100%.
But, yeah, no, I do a weekly Tesla podcast out of pure enthusiasm and nothing else. It's called Ride the Lightning, which is obviously a dual reference to both Metallica and just take it literally. Your electric car, you are riding on lightning. See that?
Yeah.
See how clever that is, Jose?
I'm not. You won't hear arguments from me.
If you just Google Tesla podcast or look it up on iTunes, you will find it. So I would love it if you would give that a listen. And what else? IGN-wise, like I said, we got Indie Showcase, Xbox Indie Showcase coverage wrapping up. We'll have that on the site soon.
Yeah. Awesome Gollum preview that went up for our IGN First Stop.
Well, it's great PlayStation stuff. VR, so not as relevant to our Xbox-specific audience.
No,
but
for sure.
Yeah,
still an awesome thing you worked
on. It's the ex-Bungie guys.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited to have them. Actually, you know what I just realized? I'm due to have... All right. Next week's show might be... absurdly long. I'll just preface it that way.
They like long shows.
People do.
Yeah.
Because Donald Mustard is next week, and I forgot, Jamie Griesmer, designer of the original Halo, the inventor of 30 Seconds of Fun.
Yeah. A statement that he regrets.
He's in here on Friday, and I was, that's right, that's supposed to run on next week's Unlocked 2. Gee, we might have a 3-hour show next week.
Right. I want to meet that guy. That guy's really awesome.
He is a treat. Yeah, he's coming in. We're going to sit down and record.
Really smart dude.
We're going to talk a lot about about 30 Seconds of Fun and Halo and his time at Bungie. But my goodness, yeah. So there's a lot coming up. And then mercifully, I get to go on vacation after that. So I'll be leaving the show in the capable hands of the rest of the crew the week after. So I'll be here next week, but then not the week after.
Okay.
I think that's it. IGN Prime, help us out, support us. $30 a year if you sign up. We'll get you an ad-free experience on IGN. And in return, we get your $30, and you can help just keep the lights on, keep everything humming along here as is, and keep these shows coming.
Yeah.
Because these shows don't... They take longer than you think.
Yeah,
to do. You got to prep them. You got to do them. Then you got to produce them afterwards. Mm-hmm. Get the video. It's a whole thing, anyway. But I'm just lucky. I'm happy they let me do this show because
same.
I love it. Yeah. I love doing it. So please sign up for IGN Prime. You can do so at ign.com/prime. And that's it. Most of you get the show on iTunes. But again, check us out on the IGN Xbox One app. If you've never watched the show on video before, give it a try. See what you think. And that'll do it. Jose Otero, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Pinch hitting last second off the bench.
Yep.
I like
nice
that.
Bunt.
Destin Legarry, who is here for enough of the show for his trivia answer to count.
That's right.
And my name's Ryan McCaffrey. We'll see everybody next week.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.